Again, this was not a passive thing of him just lifting his hands. That's an initial state. He says, I will do this to them. This is God actively coming against them. When we have been given so much insight and so much knowledge about the goodness of our God, and we speak against him and perform actions against him, he will actively destroy us. Okay, we are in Isaiah, just finished Isaiah chapter 2, and Isaiah is continuing on in the same vein of speaking about what it's going to look like in that time of tribulation, and what it's going to look like to the particularly in Jerusalem and in Judea, this province, this state in which Jerusalem resides. So let's start reading from chapter 3, verse 1 of Isaiah. For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. The mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the expert artisan, and the skillful enchanter. And I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. And the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable. When a man lays hold of his house, lays hold to his brother in his father's house, saying, you have a cloak, you shall be our ruler, and these ruins will be under your charge. And he will protest on that day, saying, I will not be your healer, for in my house there is neither bread nor cloak. You should not appoint me ruler of the people. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against his glorious presence. The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom, and they do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly with them, for what he deserves will be done to him. O my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. O my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your path. Okay, we'll stop there. He says, for behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and whole supply of water. I want you to see the state to which Judah and Jerusalem had come. You know, things happen in our lives where we might pull away from the Lord and we stop acknowledging him. And all he has to do is lift his hand away from us a little bit, and there's enough sin in our own lives to cause daily destruction in our lives. All he has to do is lift up a little bit of protection. But that's not what you're seeing here. What you are seeing here is an active, direct opposition by God against Judah and Jerusalem. What he says is, for behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove. This is an active action. It's not just, I'm going to let these things come upon you. No, he says, I am going to myself. I am going to actively remove these things from you. He says, behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah. This is how far that they had gone. Now God is opposed to them. The things that they saw God do to the enemies of Israel, to the enemies of Jerusalem and Judah, are now going to come upon them, where God himself is going to actively oppose them in that day. And that's a a more progressed state of just God lifting his hand and allowing the enemy to have his way with us. This is an active role of God against his people. He says, I'm going to do it. And so he says, the Lord of hosts is going to remove. It is going to happen. You know, when it speaks like this in the scriptures, it cannot stop from happening. It must happen this way. It must happen this way. Heaven and earth cannot stop it. Nothing can stop it. When God says, I am going to do something, it has to be done. He says, I am going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. So he's going to remove the supplies and he's going to remove their support. What are their supply? Well, much like we talked about in recent years in our own society, the supply chain problem, where there's not enough things coming in. I'm going to remove the supply and I'm going to remove their support. He says, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. I'm going to go right down to the supply of bread and water, the most fundamental things in life. I'm going to remove those from you. I myself, God says, I'm going to remove those from you. That's how far it has gotten. Water, we can only live, you know, a few days without water. Bread, the supply of bread, he's going to remove those from them. Then he says that he's also going to remove their support. Well, who's their support? It's their leaders. Now, I have seen good leadership in our own country. I've seen poor leadership in our own country. I've seen good leadership in my own university. I've seen poor leadership. And I'll tell you, a good administrator, a good leader is worth their weight in gold. They do so much to help an organization. If you have a poor leader, if you have someone who is incompetent, so much destruction happens under their charge. To have good leaders is absolutely critical. It's critical in a country. It's critical in an organization. It's critical in a university. It's also critical in a home to have parents that lead their children, to have good leadership in the family. He says, I'm going to remove the leadership from them. I will physically remove them, he says. Then he goes and he starts listing those leaders. He says, the mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet. So all of these capable people, I will remove them. Then he says, the diviner and the elder. So even the diviner, you know, sometimes you can have a person who is not a particularly godly person, but they can still be a great administrator and a great leader in an organization. They can still be a leader in an organization. So, for example, I have administrators over me in the university who don't know the Lord, but they are really good administrators. They're good administrators. They're good at what they do. He says, I'm going to remove from you all the competent people, even those that are diviners. I'm going to remove them from you. If they're competent, I'm going to remove them. He says, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the expert artisan, even the craftsman, I'm going to remove them from you. And the skillful enchanter. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to substitute them. I will make. When God says, I shall, when God says, I will, oh, how I love it. Because that means it has to happen. When a man says to you, I will be there, he may or may not be there. It may or may not happen. You know, lots of times people make claims that they're going to do something and they don't follow through. But when God says, I shall, or I will, nothing can stop it. There's nothing on heaven and on earth that can stop it. God has said, I shall, I will. Here he says, and I will make mere lads, their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. If you have children, if you have inexperienced young people ruling over you, it is an utter disaster. You think grown people can be hard? Look at when you put a child in charge of something and they start dominating. It is terrible. He says, I'm going to put them in the place over you. You're not going to be able to stop it. Children are going to be ruling over you. Capricious children will rule over you. And the people will be oppressed. He says, they're going to be. They will be oppressed. It has to happen. Each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable. You know, I used to do prison ministry. For 10 years, every Monday night, I was in a maximum security prison. And I used to see occasionally when a young person would turn from 17 to 18, they were immediately moved from the youth prison up to the adult prison. And I didn't like working in the youth prisons. I didn't like it at all, so I didn't do that routinely because it was hard for me to do any teaching in the youth prison because there was just so much disorder, so much chaos. They didn't listen to anything. Very hard to control young people, especially in the prison system. And now you take one of these young people that are put up into the adult prison system, and you see how they abuse the elderly in the prison system. It can take great advantage of the elderly. And then often you will see then some middle-aged tough guy will stand up for the older person and defend them. And this young 18-year-old has to learn the hard way, don't mess with the old guys because there's younger people there that are going to protect them. And you see, though, that these youth come against the older people. And there's no respect for authority. And you see this sort of thing. It says the youth will storm against the elder and the inferior against the honorable. When the inferior comes against the honorable, it's a terribly destructive thing. You see this sometimes. You see great men and someone who's inferior starts coming at them. So say a person who has walked with the Lord and then turned away from the Lord, has become hardened against the Lord. And they will start coming against a pastor, say, of a church. And they'll start throwing the spears of King Saul at a man greater than themselves, far greater, just like King Saul threw the spears of derision against David, a man greater than himself. This is what will often happen. When a person turns from the Lord, they will start going after the very people who are teachers of the Lord. And it's a destructive thing. And this is what you see. You can see this same sort of attitude in homes. So I have gone into homes in certain areas and in certain situations where there's utter anarchy. And that's what this is. Anarchy, so there's no authority. There's no authority. And, you know, there's this place, I took a screenshot of it because I wanted to make sure I pronounced it correctly. You may remember a couple of years ago in Seattle, there was this Capitol Hill organized protest. They called it CHOP, the town of CHOP. And it was a few blocks within Seattle that some young people had commandeered. They said, this is going to be our haven. This is going to be our wonderful place. We're going to keep everything nice here. Within 2 weeks, thugs move in with guns, and they control the whole thing. There's murders, there's drug addiction, there's overdoses, and it's utter chaos. And the people in CHOPS are screaming for help. You've got to come and help us. You know, we said defund the police. Police, come and help us. This is terrible. It was utter anarchy. When there is no authority, there is utter anarchy because a couple of thugs will move in and take total charge. And this is what you see. You can see this in homes where there's severe rebellion, where there is no father, and the mother is trying to get an income, and she's out on the streets trying to get some income. And The oldest of kids or the toughest of kids will start running this home, and it's anarchy and chaos. You see this happening. He says, this is what I'm going to do. Not only is this going to just happen, this is what I am going to make happen. I am going to make this happen among my people. And you say, well, what would move God to make that happen? Not just to allow it to happen, but to promote it and to say, I'm going to force that to happen. Well, we'll read on. He says in verse 6, when a man lays hold of his brother in his father's house, saying, you have a cloak, you shall be our ruler, and these ruins will be under your charge. So you see, the requirements for leadership have become really very simple. Very simple requirements for leadership now. You have a cloak, you should be our leader. You have a gun, you should be our leader. And these ruins, you'll be over them. There's not much left, but this is over you. And this guy says, he will protest on that day, verse 7, saying, I will not be your healer, for in my house there is neither bread nor cloak. You think I have a cloak, but I don't. I don't have bread or a cloak. And you should not appoint me ruler of the people. So nobody really wants to be a ruler in this place because they're going to get killed. I mean, there are certain countries around the world, and you see it all the time. A person becomes prime minister or president, and you know that within 5 or 10 years, that person's going to be in prison. It just happens over and over again, and that person's going to be in prison. They go from the leadership, the next regime comes in, and they're in prison. And he says, this is going to happen among my people. I'll tell you that the stability of government that we have in this country is unusual in human history. It's unusual. This is a very brief window in human history where we can live our lives and we're not worried about people coming in and just wiping out our whole town. It doesn't happen to us in this society. We live in amazing stability. But remember, this is a brief window. Human history has not always been like this. It's not always been like this. Most people lived a very different way, where they never knew if tomorrow they would still be alive. Their whole families may be wiped out. There could be a marauding band come from over the hill, no warning, and wipe out the whole town. This is a very brief window in human history. And they had real peace in Jerusalem when God was there. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lift that. He's speaking about this tribulation period, the 7 years tribulation. But there were other periods very similar to this, very similar. And they always were catalyzed by disobedience. We can see throughout the scriptures and throughout history of Israel that when they walked with God, their land and their territory expanded and there was greater peace. Yes, some people came against them, but they always prevailed. The good always prevailed. And then you see times of disobedience and their land would decrease. And you would see them getting overcome by their enemy. The same thing we have seen throughout human societies over and over again. It's going to happen to our society too. There is no guarantee that we will continue with stability. There will be times when things will be lost. And he says, why would this happen? How could this happen? Well, let's read on. Verse 8, for Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their speech and their actions are against the Lord. Jerusalem has stumbled, Judah has fallen because their speech and their actions, are against the Lord. They spoke against the Lord and they committed actions against the Lord. And when a society comes against the Lord, who has done so much for them, They map out their own destruction. It brings destruction. On the day that you have your first child, you will become much more interested in your community. You become much more interested. All of a sudden, when you hold this little child, you're going to start thinking about school districts. What's the school district going to be like? What's it going to be like? Am I living in the right area? You never thought about it before. You thought about, well, this is a great place. There's nice restaurants here and great nightlife. And all of a sudden, you have a child, and you start thinking, am I in a good neighborhood that my child can get a good education? You become a much better citizen once you have a child because you're thinking of their welfare for the future. You start thinking about crime. You know, a lot of times you're in college, you live on the college campus, you don't think much about this. Oh, you know, I can leave my computer here, somebody will watch, it'll be fine. And well, there is a whole nother area of this city just outside the hedges of the campus that thinks very differently. You don't even think about crime. You don't even think about these things. There's going to come a day when you have your first child, you're going to think a lot about these things because all of a sudden you're thinking about the future. This one is going to outlive me. I want to make sure that this world is good for them. You're going to start caring a lot about politics. You're going to start caring a lot about what politicians say, not just because they're in your favorite political party, but really what are they saying? You're going to care a lot about your local leaders, people that influence your school board, because we see here, it says, there was total anarchy occurring. Why? Because their speech and their actions are against the Lord. The Lord himself came against them. Again, this was not a passive thing of him just lifting his hands. That's an initial state. He says, I will do this to them. This is God actively coming against them. When we have been given so much insight and so much knowledge about the goodness of our God, and we speak against him and perform actions against him, he will actively destroy us. Actively, not passively. He's active in this. He says, I am going to do this. I am going to bring this upon them. So he goes on. He says, the expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them. They display their sin like Sodom. They're not even hiding it anymore. In Sodom, what was it? They didn't even hide it. They said, let us sexually abuse these men that came into your home. We're going to do it. I mean, they're not even hiding it anymore. Look at the progressions of society. You will always protect. It was always, we will protect our children. There's always been seedy neighborhoods and places you could go. But then when you bring these people into schools and do this to people's children, this is a state where it's gone so far. You see this type of thing when we're no longer ashamed of it, and we're not even passive about it, but we celebrate it. Say, come into my schools, come into the schools, and teach the children this. It's frightening. You will see one day you will care greatly about these things when you hold your first child. Then you will care greatly about these things. You will become a much better citizen because you're going to care for the future. And this is what he says. When it gets to this point, he says, this is where it's gotten in Israel. Sodom and Gomorrah were always used by God as the ultimate of judgment. He rained down fire and brimstone and totally destroyed that place to make it so low. If you look at the Dead Sea, it is so low below sea level. It just pounded it into the ground and then filled it with salt. And it's just salt water, such thick salt, nothing can live there. I mean, when God deals out judgment, a blow like this, and then he compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah, this is what he says. He compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah. But now look at this. You see this ray of hope God always does this. He gives a ray of hope. Verse 10. Verse 9 again. Let me finish with verse 9. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. They brought it on themselves. They brought it on themselves. You say, why God? Why is God so mean? Why? They brought it on themselves. Then he gives this ray of hope. Verse 10. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Look at that little ray of hope. It's just total darkness, thick clouds, and then this little opening in there where the sun is shining through, verse 10. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them. Oh, Lord, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember my family. Remember my children. As the world becomes evil, remember me. Remember me. Lord, have mercy on my neighborhood. Have mercy on my city. Have mercy on us, oh Lord, I pray. And he shines in. He says, you tell them. You tell them. Look what he says. He says, say to the righteous, tell them this. I want them to know this. Remind them of this. Say to the righteous that it will go well with you, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. There is hope. There is hope. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember my family. I pray thee, O Lord, that my children would walk with you. And I pray this all the time for my own children. I say, Lord, may they walk with you. I remind them morning after morning, get in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Because I know if you're in the Word of God every day, it will go well with you. You will have a pattern. You will have God speaking to you through the Word of God. This is how you keep your direction in a wicked world. You stay in the Word of God. Verse 11, and now this little opening in the clouds closes. Woe to the wicked. It will go badly with them, for what he deserves will be done to him. It's not what he deserves will come upon him. What he deserves will be done to him. Active, active, God does it. What he deserves will be done to him. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you sow iniquity, you will reap iniquity. If you sow righteousness, you will reap righteousness. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Jesus has said, to whom much is given, much is expected. For those of us who know these things, for those of us who have been warned, the judgment will be greater upon us. The judgment will be greater upon Israel. Just like the mercies were great upon Israel, they had been given much. Much was expected of them. Much is expected of us because of what he has revealed to us. Better to not have known and not have walked in it than to have known and rejected it and to have spurned God to his face. This is what he's saying to us. And then in verse 12, O my people, their oppressors are children. Children are going to be ruling over you. And you watch in these oppressive places of our own city. You watch. Young people control. Young people are in control. A middle-aged person, an older person cannot walk outside. The young people dominate. And they are really cruel. It says, the oppressors are children and women rule over them. These women are the women that were left, and there was no good in them. We're about to read about them. It's not that a woman can't lead. I mean, we certainly even see examples of it, like Deborah in the Bible. But it's that there were no men left. There were no men left, and so a woman had to rise up because all the men had been destroyed. Oh, my people, those who guide you lead you astray, and confuse the direction of your paths. This is a pattern that was picked up by Jesus in the New Testament. He comes over and over again. He comes against the leadership of Israel. He said, "You are blind guides of the blind." He came against the leadership over and over again. You look at the way he spoke to prostitutes, at the way he spoke to tax collectors. It was very different than the way he spoke to the leadership of Israel. He was really quite harsh in the way he spoke to them. You know, you'd hear him speaking like that, and you'd be want to say, like, "Go easy on him, Lord. Go easy on him. You know, these are important people, you know." Jesus really laid it out for them. And he says, you leaders, you put upon the people burdens that you yourself wouldn't even try to touch. You wouldn't even touch it. You put these burdens on them. He says, "You're so bad that I am holding you accountable for the deaths of all the prophets, from Abel, the first prophet to be killed by his brother Cain, to Zechariah, the last one." Zechariah was the last prophet to be killed, because remember, the Jewish Bible ends with 2 Chronicles. It's a different order than the way we structure our Old Testament. Ends in 2 Chronicles. The last one to die in 2 Chronicles is Zechariah. So when he says, "From Abel to Zechariah," he said to them, "I am holding you responsible for the death of all of them." This is what Jesus said. He was really hard on the leadership. Just like you're going to see here, the Messiah picks up the very same pattern, because he says, "Your leaders have led you astray." It's your leaders who have led you astray. This is why he says, don't let everyone. Don't all desire to be teachers. You're going to undergo a stricter judgment. When there are politicians that do evil, that do wrong, that abuse people, that take advantage of their community, it will not go well with them. When there are parents that are abusive to children, it will not go well with those parents. When there are people that are abusive to children, they're abusive to the lowly, they're abusive to the infirm. They don't care for the infirm. It will not go well for them. It will not go well for those societies. And this is why we must continue to care for our children. We must remember the children in the womb. We must remember them and care for them. We must take care of our infirm. You say, "Well, they're a big burden on society when they get old." Well, you're going to be a big burden on society too, but this is what society is for, to take care of our infirm, to take care of people who need it. There are really people in need, and there are people that are not in need, that are saying that they're in need, but they're not in need. Paul said, "If a man doesn't work, let him not eat either. Don't support a widow unless she's a widow indeed. She has to be over 60 years old. She can't be running after men. And don't let her be a burden on the church. Her children should be taking care of her. If she has children, they should be taking care of her. And she should have raised children. If you're going to be taking care of this widow, she should have raised children. And her children should be taking care of her. Maybe her children died in war or something. You take care of her." That's when the church is supposed to do this. This is what we do with societies. This is what we do with churches. This is part of what we do. God has raised us up to be a different people. Remember these words. Remember the acts of judgment. And remember the ray of hope that comes as Isaiah speaks this in. The ray of hope. "Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Be zealous to good works, because you will eat the fruit of your actions." You're not going to eat the fruits of your knowledge. You're going to eat the fruits of your actions. Be zealous for good works. Do good works. He has prepared us, the Bible says. He has prepared us for good works. He has prepared works for us to walk in. Be prepared to do good works, and you will be remembered for that. God remembers that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for the truth of your word. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord, that we can look into these treasures. Lord, I pray for your mercies on these young people, that they would not come to a point of rejecting you, nor neglecting you. but they would be zealous for you, for your word, and for good works, because they will be remembered for their actions. Lord, I pray your grace to be upon them. And for the unbelievers, Lord, who are going to be listening to this, who have no hope, Father, I pray that you draw them to Jesus. Save their souls, I pray. Draw them to Jesus. The Lord be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.